Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, here we go. Hey, everybody, this is Charlie from Anthrax, and you are listening to Talking Metal, the show that just speaks and talks metal.
Hey, everybody, this is Jordan Rudess from Dream Theater, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Charlie Benanti and Jordan Rudess are my guests today. And let me just say a big thanks to Eva New for helping coordinate the interview with Charlie, and a big thanks to Seth, aka Shreddy Mercury, on Instagram. You guys got to check him out. Maybe I'll link his thing through the show notes today. He is the king of air guitar and the metal beer guy, among many other things. Longtime friend to my good friend Josh Bernstein, and Emily's known him forever, really, probably longer than anybody. So, big thanks to Seth. I believe his last name is Leibowitz. And Eva New. Eva, if you don't know, she was the former producer of shows like The Headbangers Ball back in the day, and also Talking Metal on Fuse, the show I had the privilege of being on the Fuse Network. So big thanks to those two. This is episode 925, and we're going to take care of some business, and then we're going to get into the episode. Want to let you guys know that we are doing a live stream in just 2 days on Thursday. That's right. This Thursday, John and I will be hanging out with all your favorite rockers and journalists and possibly a writer. Bobby Blitz of Overkill, I think, is going to drop in, and some other big names too, we hope. So join us on YouTube, youtube.com/talkingmetal, for the Talking Metal live stream this Thursday, May 20th? Yeah, May 20th. At 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be great. And we do that hang for about 90 minutes. We drink some dash vodka, of course. We have some cocktails. We talk rock with our favorite rockers. So please join us for the Talking Metal live stream in just 2 days. Also, let's talk about Patreon. This is where people get bonus podcasts. It's where they get Talking Metal t-shirts. It's where they vote on what we might be talking about on this show, you know, with our classic albums and all that type of stuff. So it's a great place to hang, and it is, more importantly, a great place to support. You don't have to hang there. Not everyone is engaged there. Some people just like to give money. I actually do that on Patreon with some of the people I support. I don't really get too much involved in their posts and stuff. I just like what they're doing in public, and I want to support them, and that's why I give money to people on Patreon. If you like what I'm doing, please consider joining these people on Patreon: Adrian Cusick, Dane Damage, Madison Hatter, Seth B, Alan Jensen, Hank Reeves, John Simpson, Huckney Jacobson, John Barron, Ed Ferguson, Denny Striegel, Patrick Sabin, Jerry from Salt Lake City, Blue Walsh 21, Victor Guzman, Glenn Watson, Joey Van Cherry, Gene Eugene DX, Sean Richmond, Mario Schrantz, Andrew Miller, Jeremy Weltman, Chris Riley, Johan Erdestrom, Steven Rodriguez, Tommy Henderson, Gregory Muse, Kenny McCrimmon, Leo Shaven, Brad Dahl, Dan Gurwan, Jerry from Long Island, Sam Soupy, Drake, Matt Carroll, Joe Ryan, Jason Seth, Steven Saylor, Ron Keel, Jean-Francois Blah, Anthony Mackey, James Bennett, David Gray, Fred Rutz, Michael Street, Mike Jones, Stephen Hoker, John Bovary, and Metal Dan. Yeah, let's get into the episode. Hey, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. We are here in South Orange, New Jersey. We just finished dinner, and we are having some drinks. There's a jazz band playing outside, which is literally across the parking lot, but they've got some volume on them for sure. And we are inside, although the windows are opened, right? And Emily's here. She hasn't picked up her microphone yet, though. And
sorry, I was busy. Okay. Staring at this fishbowl that they... First, they bring me, like, this giant fishbowl of a drink that was a rosé spritzer, but it was mostly ice, I will admit. Just kidding. That was a fake hiccup. And then we did get a second round, and this is the tiniest drink I've ever seen in my life. Like, put these side by side. It's kind of, like, comedic. Right. I should take a picture of this.
Yes. Which one do you like better?
I like the smaller one, but if it were double the size.
All right. Okay. All right. So why don't you tell the listeners what we just did before having dinner here?
So you got to do your first in-person interview in forever. Well, not really.
Well, not really,
but
kind
of. Because you've
done some
outside, kind of,
because we did Madison Hatter and Alan Tecchio on the patio.
Right.
But as far as our first, backstage, or I guess it was in front of the stage because we were in the lobby. The theater wasn't opened yet. And that's where we did the interview, and it was just, you know, it felt reminiscent of old times. It felt like this wasn't, you know, talented friends of ours doing interviews on our patio, which we've done recently, which has been awesome, by the way. But this was, I don't know, it was the experience of going to a venue and interviewing somebody again, and just really meant a lot to me that Jordan took the time to do this. I really tracked him down through numerous different sources, and our one friend Seth Leibowitz, aka Shreddy Mercury, on Instagram, he really put some muscle into it and made the interview happen, in my opinion. So thank you to Seth.
Do you want to hear something kind of ironic that I
What's
just
that?
Realized? The last interview that you did backstage at a concert was also Jordan.
I know. Yep.
Did Jordan, you put two and two
Jordan
together?
Ziff.
Jordan
it's,
Ziff
from it's
Rat.
It's funny, yeah, that you just said that because we had some other interviews that were done in person after that, but as far as backstage,
like,
and
before
at a venue,
show,
goes that is true. Jordan Ziff, all the way here to Jordan Rudis of Dream Theater, and of course we have Charlie Benente on the show too. So stay tuned for both of these interviews. Great chat with both these guys. And I guess let's just get right into the interview here with Jordan. I am really, really digging the new Liquid Tension Experiment 3 album. Highly recommended. Definitely check it out. We're going to talk to Jordan about that right now here on Talking Metal. Jordan, we are here at the SOPAC Theater in South Orange, New Jersey, and I have to admit this is rather emotional for me because I'm so used to doing these interviews backstage and before shows, and this is the first one that I've done since, I guess, late 2019, so thank you for doing this. It really means a lot, and just so thrilled to attend a live show tonight, your show here at the SOPAC in South Orange, and yeah, I feel like it's time, and I know this is the third show that you've done on this tour or you're about to do. Can you tell us the emotions that you had walking back onto the stage?
Yeah, I mean, it's really incredible. I feel like I closed everything down with the show in Mexico City with Deep Purple, probably the last rock show that happened in the world, you know, I think literally. And then I guess it's kind of like I'm one of the ones who's opening it up again. I mean, it just kind of worked out that way. It wasn't necessarily planned. I had these shows booked previously, but they had to be postponed.
Right.
So they happen to be postponed to now when it's, you know, possible with some restrictions. But no, it feels amazing. I mean, it's just like, you know, I've been doing a lot of streaming and you know, all that. I learned a lot about that on my time at home. But to be in front of people, I was a little bit nervous for the first show, which was, I do shows all the time. Well, yeah. I was, but hadn't done them in so long that I was literally feeling a little like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. Totally. And you mentioned that last show before we started recording here, which is just amazing that you, basically the last show before this quarantine COVID stuff hit for you was walking on stage, filling in for Don Ari of Deep Purple, right?
Yeah, that was a big deal for me because not only was it a lot of music to learn, but, you know, we grew up with those songs and that. I remember being like, you know, 17 and 18 years old and having the radio on and just hearing that and going, oh my God, what is this music? That was like the first progressive rock that I had ever heard. It really had an influence on me. So to play with Deep Purple was, you know, it was a pretty big deal, especially because it was a huge show. It was like 40,000 people. So I walked on stage with them for the first time ever and just like, bam, it was like, really, it was a big rush of energy. It was really intense.
Wow, amazing. And I know John Lord was one of the reasons he really got into rock music, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, an incredible keyboard player. You know, the reality is the reason I went into, you know, playing rock keyboards was really more about like Keith Emerson and Rick Wakeman.
Right.
But John Lord, hey, as I said, that was some of the first, you know, progressive like rock music I heard, and it definitely had an influence.
Right on, right on. And let's talk about some great new music that has just hit. Liquid Tension Experiment is back after 22 years. And just, I listened to this record and just love it because for me, I feel like a hopefulness in it. There's heaviness and some darkness, but there's also just instrumentally, because this is an instrumental record, I hear hope. Does that sound off base to you or?
No, I mean, that's beautiful to hear you say that because, you know, one of the nice things about Liquid Tension Experiment is we're not necessarily in the like darker metal vibe at all. I mean, like even Dream Theater has a little bit of that kind of darker sound.
Right.
As proggy as it is, but Liquid Tension has the ability to kind of open it up to, you know, a more joyful, happy, major key kind of sound. And one of the things I wanted to do actually when I was thinking about the composing process for the new album was to make sure that we had things that were very open sounding, and hopeful is a good, you know, a good word for it, you know, melodic, just make
right.
you feel good, that kind of vibe.
And of course, that reunites you with Tony on bass and Mike on drums. Now, Mike, had you done some work with Mike since he left Dream Theater before this?
So, the only thing that I did with Mike was we did the progressive rock cruise to the Edge. He invited me to do a song called Instrumentally, which is a big progressive crazy song. So I joined him there and a couple other musicians, and it's a tune that we did with Dream Theater back in the day. And so, we reunited for that. And then this was, you know, the next part of it. So that was cool. I mean, Mike and I had stayed in touch through all the years anyway. I mean,
right.
we were always, it was never like a big separation between us. So it was awesome to, you know, to finally get this to happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some great, great tracks on here. Beating the Odds, again, this amazing track with heaviness, and again I hear the hopefulness in that. Let's talk about the Liquid Evolution. Now those are some real interesting sounds on that, and it almost sounds like an underwater type of vibe or something. What is that? Because that's keyboards, right? That's you getting those sounds.
I mean, a lot of it is the keyboard sound, so that's mostly an improvisation, but sonically speaking, I wanted to create something that was really special. So I went into my software and some of the hardware things I had, and I just worked on a sound that I thought was really unique. I mean, we wanted to connect it a little bit to, I think the song was called Osmosis on the previous Liquid Tension album. So I was looking for a sound in that kind of timbral range.
Right.
So once I got the sound, once I made the sound, then I was like,
right.
okay, well, I can play and use the sound to create something nice. And then we improvised.
Right on, right on. And there is an amazing cover on the record, Rhapsody in Blue. Just very unique take on the Gershwin classic. Was Gershwin an influence on you? I know you're very diverse with your...
Yeah, I always loved Gershwin because, you know, he really mixed jazz and classical together. And I was always interested in mixing styles together, even as a young kid going to Juilliard. So Gershwin was like right up my alley. And I'd play some of his songs like from Porgy and Bess growing up. And so doing Rhapsody in Blue was definitely in my wheelhouse. And I felt comfortable... stylistically that we were actually adding other elements to this fusion that already exists in Gershwin's music. So take the jazz classical, add a little bit of rock and a little bit of prog and maybe some other influences sneaking in there, and you kind of got what we did.
Awesome. I love Shades of Hope, another really beautiful song that I love the way the guitars and keyboards kind of work together on that.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
So much good stuff. Again, it's the Liquid Tension Experiment 3. And
Number
Petrucci,
three, believe it or not.
Levin, Portnoy, and Rudess. Great stuff. Let's talk about Dream Theater. Sure. There is a live release coming out, right, on the way, Images and Words?
Right. We have our new series coming out, The Lost, Not Forgotten. I think that's what we're calling it.
Right.
Yeah, very exciting to kind of, I know the Dream Theater fans are going to be very, very excited. You know, they love... whatever we can find in the vault to give them. This is going to be a big, long project of releases, and excited to get it off the ground.
Absolutely. And there is new music in the works too, right? We're looking at a new release maybe this fall.
We don't have a definite release day, but we've been in the studio and we recorded all the tracks for a new album that we're very, very excited about. I think the fans are going to freak out. And right now we're going through the whole, you know, mixing, mastering, production, promotion, and all that kind of stuff to get ready for the release in the fall.
Awesome. Cannot wait. I mean, you're staying so busy. There's also solo music, I believe, in the works. In 2019, you had the Heartfelt record, right?
That was a record, actually, that I did for a company that does licensed music for television and movies.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it was actually... geared towards that, but as part of what they do, they also put it out like on Spotify and iTunes and stuff like that. So it's not quote unquote a Jordan Rudess album like the way, you know, an album would be. It was music specifically prepared for television, movie, licensed music. Yeah. But I did release an album that was somewhat in a similar vein, a couple months ago, called A Chapter in Time.
Right.
That was more like an album, and that was like a musical diary, like something that I did as a kind of reflection on the times that we've been going through. I would go to the studio and I would just like get a sound and just play from my heart, and you know, just all the feelings and emotions. And I captured a whole bunch of stuff. I didn't really know that it was going to be an album until I had a bunch of stuff, and I was like, you know what, this is kind of cool because it really is telling the story of where my head was at and where the world was in this very bizarre time period.
Absolutely. And what else besides music, outside of the world of music, has kept you busy or entertained during this past year?
Well, I mean, you know, music is pretty much everything in my life, but and everything around it. Like, one of the things I did during this whole period of time is I started a Patreon, which was very cool.
Yeah, I was going to mention.
Because when the whole lockdown happened, I was like streaming every day. I would just put my camera down, my iPhone down on the piano, and I'd literally just go on Facebook. I would just play for everybody. And after about 40 times of doing that, I thought to myself, well, this feels really good to me and people like it, but maybe I shouldn't be giving the music away for free. Like, maybe that's a bad message for like all the other musicians in the world. So I was looking around for a way to like have it make more sense. And so I found the Patreon platform, and that's been amazing because it allows people to, you know, give something a little bit back, and it allows me to kind of freely do all the things that I like to do, like streaming and educating and doing chats and, you know, messaging with people directly. It's been really cool.
And looking ahead into 2022, of course, we're probably going to have this new Dream Theater record later this year. Are we imagining a big tour for next year, or is it too early to say?
Well, Dream Theater is looking at touring also in the fall.
In the fall,
at this point, we're obviously waiting for the green light, but all eyes are kind of like looking at that period of time, and we're ready to go. And as soon as we get the word,
awesome,
yeah,
awesome. Very cool, and. Yeah. would there ever be any live dates with Liquid Tension Experiment?
I would hope so. Would love to do that. You know, because of the time period, it's kind of like, it's hard to talk about like anything but Dream Theater, because we all need Dream Theater to get back, because it's like our livelihood, and even like our tour manager, production manager, they're like, when are we going to tour again? So we can't really give much thought to like Liquid Tension touring at the moment, but as soon as things start to roll again,
right,
then we'll be able to do that, figure it out. But we'd love to do it at some point, sure.
Awesome. And what can the fans expect on this current tour that you're on as far as set lists go? Any sneak peek you can give us into what we're going to see tonight or hear tonight?
Yeah. So I had a lot of fun putting this whole piano thing together. You know, my wife, Danielle, was like, you know, because I was working like every day, like working on all these hard pieces. She was like, you know, you could just walk on stage and play. Like, you don't have to do all this. I was like, maybe, but it's kind of like what I do. Like, so I was, you know, I put together some pieces that are quote unquote hard. Like I took one of the songs off the new Liquid Tension album that we did like as a band, and I arranged it for piano.
Cool.
So it's definitely not easy, but I took the time and I did it. And then I also went back and took a couple of the more proggy things, you know, from the other albums and doing that too. So it's a mixture of that and some music from this A Chapter in Time album that I did. So it's really super mellow and kind of thoughtful. Playing a little Bach on this as well. And just kind of take you for a little Jordan-style musical journey, you know?
We cannot wait. And thank you so much for spending some time with us before your show here in South Orange, New Jersey at the great SOPAC Theater. We appreciate that you're out there doing it again.
Awesome. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for spending the time and coming here to say hello. All right.
That was Jordan from Dream Theater and Liquid Tension Experiment, and briefly of Deep Purple. Doing pretty cool to hear him talk about doing that last show with Deep Purple. He started telling Emily that story as I was setting up the mics, and I was like, oh God, I got to get him to repeat this for the podcast.
Yeah, I know. So many stories are like lost off when we're not recording. So I know you got to him. He went back a little bit to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, I was impressed to hear that he was a Juilliard graduate. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I mean, amazingly talented guy. I'm excited to hear the set list tonight because it sounds like he's going to mix everything from Bach to, you know,
Dream Theater. Yeah.
To Dream Theater,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So we will be heading over there shortly. We're just the interview is at 5:30. You know, it was a 14-minute interview, and we're hanging at the restaurant now, and it's getting closer. Emily, we could probably head over there in 15, 20 minutes. You know, it's 7:15 right now. I want to give a big shout-out to Stephen Saylor, just texted me as we're sitting here eating. Hey, Stephen, how are you, man? Stephen said he got his Moderna vaccine today. That's awesome. So far, only a sore arm. Well, I hope that is all you have, and, you know, it is great that people are out there getting vaccinated. We had another member of our family vaccinated today. Our 12-year-old son, Harrison, was vaccinated. So how great. And, you know, Jordan Rudis of Dream Theater was vaccinated. And, you know, he said he took off his mask when we told him that we were vaccinated. I showed him my vaccination card. And he was like, oh, we don't need to wear masks then because I'm vaccinated too. But we left ours on kind of out of respect to the theater. But there's a cool picture of Jordan and I up on my Instagram. And let's get into the interview with Charlie from Anthrax. Do you remember? I don't know if this is the last time I interviewed him was in the barn. Remember the barn?
Oh, how could I forget the barn? The poop
he
barn.
He remembered it, yeah.
The manure. Oh, he did?
Yeah, I think I may have interviewed him one time since then, but maybe not.
Charlie
I don't know.
Didn't throw a fit. The only one that really threw a fit about the manure barn was Scott Ian.
Yeah, which in Scott's defense, I get
oh,
it.
Oh, come on. Yeah. It was like a 4-H fairground, you know? Like, I grew up in Indiana, so that stuff doesn't really faze me. I don't think it was that big of a deal. I really don't. But maybe that's just me.
We are hanging out here at, where are we, Emily? What's the name of this restaurant? The Fox and something?
Fox and Fallon? Wait.
Falcon, right? Falcon.
Fallas.
Fox and Jimmy Fallon.
I yeah, just drink yeah. a fish tank of.
Right,
of
yeah, and it wasn't half ice, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Fox and Phallus.
Fox and Frolic. Fox and Frolic. Anyways, we got Charlie Benente of Anthrax coming up right now here on Talking Metal, and the Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison Tour, Emily pushed to our anniversary of June 22nd, 2022.
No, June 25th.
25th, yeah.
Oh, my God. Who's had too much to drink now? You're like, you've had one beer, and you can't even remember our anniversary?
Right. No, I remember.
Really? Yeah. No, I'm putting you on the spot here. I'm grilling you.
I remember our
There's
anniversary.
No editing this out, by the way.
Right. We can edit it.
25th, though. Right. You were thinking 2022, though.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
I'll forgive you for that. But, yeah, I mean, Mark was like, so it's our anniversary. Should we you know, cancel the tickets? Because they gave us the option to do that.
Yeah, they did give us a refund option.
And I was like, heck no. I mean, what more perfect anniversary than us going to a show, probably one of our first big stadium shows back,
right?
Potentially.
Well, potentially, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, definitely. Yeah, no, it sounds awesome. It sounds awesome. I do want to go down to the Virgin Islands to celebrate our 15-year anniversary, which was canceled for last year.
Did you actually... Did you actually have something reserved for Turks and Caicos, or were you?
No,
I
met with a travel agent at the Liberty Travel, which is the same place I think we used to book our honeymoon.
Our honeymoon,
not the same location, different location.
Which is amazing. But, our honeymoon spot is gone. It was blown away in the hurricane.
Yeah,
Keneal Bay. If anyone knows that, in St. John, paradise.
Right, right.
Do you remember that sea turtle that I made friends with?
Yeah,
he was my
there was
best
numerous
friend.
Ones. Yep. Anyways, here we go. My interview with Charlie from Anthrax. Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and we are welcoming back to the podcast Charlie from Anthrax. Charlie, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you, Mark?
I am good, and I've interviewed you numerous times through the years, but the one that always sticks out in my mind is us standing in a barn in upstate New York with horse manure all over the place behind us. Do you remember that interview?
Yeah, we were playing a festival.
Yeah.
I do remember that. And and the funny thing about it was, like, there were different interviewers set up in the barn, and you would do one and then you'd move over and you'd get closer and closer to the smell. And it was like, I get it.
Yeah.
Anthrax, it's a cow disease.
Yeah. Right. Right. Kind of fits in there somehow. But man, I just watched the video that you guys put out for Fistful of Metal. You basically what you're doing, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're celebrating the 40-year history of Anthrax. And each week a new video is coming out that relates to an album in the band's catalog, correct?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we already have four. So we released three last week. One this week, and then tomorrow is another one.
Okay, cool.
So tomorrow, I believe, goes into spreading the disease.
Awesome, awesome. And these are really great little videos because they tell stories. And I wanted to take you back to Fistful of Metal, which was the first album by the band. And Johnny Z, I recently read his book, and he mentions this a little bit in the video you guys did. He really, in the book, he describes you guys as literally stalking him and really following him around and coming to his flea market where he had his booth set up for records. What are your first memories of finding out about Johnny Z and kind of tracking him down?
Well, I think for the most part, we were on a mission, and I think we wanted to get it to the person that we felt could really deliver it for us, you know? And because we didn't know a lot of people back in the day. There weren't like record company people breaking down our doors. So we were doing it in a very independent way. And Johnny was doing shows. He brought over Venom. He brought over Raven, Anvil, and we felt that this guy, you know, he was thinking like we were. And he started a label, and we would give him demos, and I'm not crazy about it. But when I joined the band, things started to change. The sound started to change. It started to evolve, and then he started to take notice of us. And as he states in some of the documentary footage, and he helped us, and he really helped our career. And he was the guy. I mean, he was doing it for Metallica. And we felt, you know, part of that family. So he was the guy that was going to do it. And he was, him and Marsha.
And he was with you for a long time. We hear a lot about those early days where you were working with him, but he was with you all the way through when John Bush joined, correct?
Johnny was with us from 83, 84 till 93, 94.
Wow. Yeah. So, and at what point does he becomes your manager, right?
He became our manager early on.
Early on. Right. Cool.
Yeah.
And I was a big fan of the John Bush era stuff. I remember seeing you guys play with John for the first time. I was at the sixth show you ever did with him, which was at the Grand in New York City, which I believe was right before The Sound of White Noise came out. How do you look back on that era of the band, The Sound of White Noise, and working on that specific record?
I mean, that record was a new chapter. And it was exciting. It was kind of, when I think about it now, it brings different emotions to me because, you know, we had parted ways with Joey, which was, for me, it's kind of tough to talk about that time because I think I was much younger, way more arrogant, more ignorant. And I think, just didn't have the experience back then. And we were just like, we had blinders on and we just went forward with that. And Sound of White Noise record to me was one of our best records. When John came in the band, the first song that he, pretty much one of the only songs that we had at that time was that song called Only. And John wrote lyrics with Scott for that song and he sang it. And I was blown away. I felt like this was one of the best songs that ever came out. And once I heard that, I could write more songs with John's voice in mind, and it became so easy for me. And some of the songs in that record, man, to this day are just awesome. Everything from Room for One More to Hypro Glow to Potter's Field to Package Rebellion. I mean, there's a lot of great songs on that record, and I would love to play some of those songs again because I miss them.
Wow. Yeah. And I remember, I think the last time I saw you too, with John Bush was definitely a great show, opening for Dio at the Beacon 2004, which was another great era for the band. Any memories of that era with John?
I have a lot of fond memories with John, especially the Sound of White Noise tour and the We Come For You All tour. And of course the Dio tour was great. But you know, the thing is you never get to really appreciate it once you're there. You always appreciate it after the fact,
right?
You know what I mean? Seeing Ronnie every night, seeing him backstage talking here and there. He's always such a gentleman, always wanted to hear what you had to say. You know, he listened. He didn't wait to talk. He just, you know, listened. And it's just, you know, it was a great run. And Ronnie Dio is a fucking icon.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that night too. Chuck D jumped on stage with you guys at the Beacon. I don't know if you recall that.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. Good memories for sure. So you've been staying real busy, at least from where I'm sitting. It seems like you've been really busy. And as a fan, it's so much fun to see these quarantine jams that you put together and not just hear them, but again, see them. And a lot of work goes into these, I would imagine, because it's learning the songs, it's editing the video, it's recording the songs, it's mixing the songs. Can you talk a little bit about how you put these together? It's getting the people to do the songs with you. Cause a lot of people are like, oh, these guys just turn on the camera and record it. And that's it. It's, you know, it doesn't take much effort, but I see a lot of effort.
Oh, it was a ton of effort. For me, it was, exciting. It was fun. It was me doing what I love to do from every aspect of it, from learning the songs to actually recording it, to asking one of my awesome musician friends to be a part of it, and them taking the time to learn it and lend their talents to it, to then mixing it and spending time just doing that whole aspect of it. That's so much fun. And then doing a video for it. And it's like, you know, I would always think, well, how do I want to do this? What do I want to do? And some of the videos I did for this, I got kind of artsy, especially the Massive Attack one for the song Teardrop. I was just like, let's make a goofy MTV video. That's what I did. Thank God we have iPhones, you know, because it helped a lot.
And when you say that's what I did, are you working with an editor? Are you editing this stuff yourself? How are you putting the videos together?
So a good friend of mine, Dima, he is an awesome video editor, and he helped me. And we would talk about what I want, what kind of cut, how fast, you know, let's do this. Can you add some of this to it? Can you add some of that? And then he would just bring it to life. Same with, like, I always wanted to give Andy Lagos, who did a lot of the mixing for this, I always would give him notes and say, I need the guitar to be out there, you know what I mean? Because it really drives the song. Or, you know, or like the Mother Love Bone song, for instance, I had to kind of learn how to play piano for that song. And, you know, some of them were a bit of a challenge, but I was so happy afterwards that I actually did it. I challenged myself, and I think a few of the other people on it, I kind of pushed them out of their comfort zone too, to, you know, you could do this, man. I know you could do it. I hear it, you know, you could do it. And then boom, they would do it.
Right on. And one of the ones I really loved was the one you did with Daryl McDaniels from DMC.
It was awesome.
So much fun. And I spoke with him, and he made it sound like you guys might be doing more work together. Is that in the works?
Yeah, we have something else that we're working on, and I'm just dragging my fucking feet. Because I'm doing so much that I really want to concentrate on finishing that, because I think that song is really good, and it's not a cover; it's original.
Oh wow, cool. But no plan for release date just yet on that? No. Cool. But all these quarantine videos will be released as a package, as an album, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Comes out May 14th. And again, I wasn't going to put this out at all. These were just done during quarantine. And this was basically to help me keep sane. And the response I got from other people, I guess that was helping them too. They looked forward to it, and they really enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I don't know, man. It's just like playing cover songs to me is a very therapeutic, but it also helps me and teaches me how to do real songs, because I learned so much doing these songs, whether it be the sounds, you know, a lot of the tones were created in a certain way, how to mix them, how to approach them. So it was a learning experience. And I took this whole year to really do that and learn my craft. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times we always rely on other people to do it. Oh, here it is. Just do it. But for me this time, I did most of it.
That's awesome. And that's kind of what the title is all about. I would think silver lining is what you're calling this, right?
Yeah. You know, I couldn't come up with a title. And basically I was talking to someone and I'm like, you know, this whole year I looked through the darkness of this whole virus and this pandemic, and there were silver linings. There actually were silver linings. And I wish other people discovered that or realized that. Yes, we're in a bad way, but there are silver linings to this whole thing. You know, some people got a new career because of it. And I'm looking at the positive side. Of course, there's a a negative side. We lost so many people during it. And that to me is just, I don't know, man, it's just terrible. But I can't say enough about that. And I think I'll stop from there because I don't want to get too down on it.
Right, right. No, I hear you. You guys are working on a comic book with Z2 Comics. My friend Josh Bernstein works over at Z2 Comics. And yeah, I cannot wait to see this. Any behind the scene details you can share on the comic book just yet?
I mean, basically, so I've been trying to do an Anthrax comic book for quite a while now, and I always get sidetracked by something else. I'm trying to tell a story with the last three album covers. And then Josh Bernstein came to us and had this idea, and I was like, that's a great idea. You know, this could be really good. So he asked us who we would want to get to contribute to this. And then we gave him a list of people, and, you know, and some artists and stuff like that. And bam, everybody agreed to do it. And I was kind of blown away. I was like, holy shit, that's so awesome that we got these people to contribute to this. So the book looks amazing. The stories are amazing. The artwork is amazing. Scott and I worked on the I Am the Law story. He did the story, I did the cover, and that story is really good too. So it's really well done.
Yeah, cool. Well, everything Z2 Comics does is well done. Josh was just over at my house the other day and came over to drink some beers with me, and he brought a big stack of Z2 Comics for me to check out. So it's always good to have him stop by.
I love Josh. He's a great dude.
Absolutely. And Anthrax, we've heard new music is being worked on. Can you give us an update on where you guys are with that? Or maybe you can't. I don't know.
Yeah, the pandemic put everything on a halt because we didn't want to put a record out during this. So it's going to start up again.
Okay.
And yeah, it's in the process.
And are you?
I don't want to because I don't want to talk about it because it would be like you know, kind of premature to tell people about it and then they wait longer, you know. So
right,
let's just say yes, we are working on a new record.
Awesome.
A follow up to For All Kings.
Right. Cannot wait. And do we think that there will be maybe Anthrax live dates this year? Are we talking about that? Yeah.
Yeah, we're playing a bunch of festivals this year here in America. You know, the Louder Than Life. What's the all the Wimmer festivals we're doing? The ones that Metallica are doing too.
Oh, okay, awesome.
We're on all of those. But we really want to work on this record more so than anything, you know, and that's the focus, I believe.
Okay, cool. And the coffee's still happening, still going strong.
The coffee's brewing, man. It's like, yeah. I smell it right now. Of course, I'll never stop doing that. It's a labor of love, you know. And every time I turn someone on to the coffee, they always come back with like, dude, this stuff is really good. And when they run out, they really miss it, which is such a great thing. So I'm like, well, you got to get some more, you know?
Right. Where's the best place to get it?
My website, charliebenante.com, or Dark Matter, the coffee company that puts it out. They also do it. But my website, you go there and you go have fun, drink some, and just get that experience in the morning, fill the house up with the smell of coffee. It's awesome.
Absolutely. And a lot of people have been binge watching shows and doing a lot of Netflix and Hulu and all that during quarantine. Anything you're watching that you want to recommend to people?
What's the last thing that I started watching? I started watching this Kate Winslet show on HBO that
yeah,
I thought was really good.
Yeah.
And I watched the
Mayor
the Nevers.
Of Easttown. Yeah.
Yeah. Mayor of Easttown. That's it. And the Nevers. I started watching that, and I'm looking forward to, man, I love The Mandalorian, the second season. I thought it was awesome. And
yeah, me too.
I can't wait for that. And I you know, I'm kind of, well, this is going to come out bad, but, you know, I was watching The Handmaid's Tale since it came on, and I don't know, man, it just, I'm kind of burnt on it because it's like, how many times can you get caught and escape and then get back and then go back and then escape again? It's like, end it already, you know?
Right.
Kind of, it's like, come on, man. But anyway, right. I do love that show.
Yeah, my wife loves that show. I haven't been watching it with her, but she loves that show. And what about Kenobi? Are you excited to see the Kenobi series,
absolutely,
I guess, next year or later? I don't even know when that hits. Later this year?
I think it is next year.
Yeah.
I think it's 22.
Yeah, it's got to be, I would think.
But I'm excited about that. I mean, I love the fact that when Jon Favreau took over, because he's a big fan, I knew that, okay, this is going to be good. And the attention to detail and just the way it looks and the story and everything, it's just so awesome. And it's like, I'm glad that, being a Star Wars fan since I was a little kid, I could be happy again and be, you know, proud of what I'm watching rather than watching some, I don't know, a vehicle for, even though I love the toys, but a lot of it was just marketed for toys and children. But I think the Rogue One movie came out, and I think that was the first one that showed that we are going to cater to some of the older Star Wars fans and get,
right,
them back into it. And I think Rogue One, it was great. I also liked the Han Solo movie, to be honest with you.
I did too. I did too. Yeah. A lot of people couldn't get past the fact that there was no Harrison Ford in that role. But yeah, I thought it was a good story.
Well, I mean, it was young, a young Solo, so they could have done a CGI thing, but I didn't mind the actor who played him. I thought it was good. I thought it was a good story, and I think it didn't do so well because of that last Star Wars that came out prior to it, because that was just terrible, and I think that movie suffered that backlash.
Right. Could be. Could be. Anyways, we are completely psyched for everything you have going on, Charlie. Silver Lining, you said out, what, next week?
May 14th.
May 14th. Okay. Oh, before next week. Yeah. So by the time you hear this, guys, it will be out. So, yeah. Great talking with you, Charlie.
All right, bro. All thanks, right. Mark. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Hope to see you on the road soon. But, you know, next year, I guess, probably.
Yeah, man. I'll tell Eva everything's good.
Okay. Cool. Cool. Yeah, Eva's
all right,
great.
Bro.
Okay.
Have a good night.
You too.
All right.
Big thanks to Jordan from Dream Theater and Charlie from Anthrax and Emily from Maplewood for joining us on this episode of Talking Metal. And yeah, I guess we'll head over to the theater. It should be interesting tonight, Emily. It's socially distanced, so theater holds like 400 people, but
no,
only 100 tickets went on sale, and they all sold out. So
I feel like we're going to be staggered two by two by two, but staggered every other row. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
And we have to leave our masks on the whole time.
I guess so, yeah.
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 What if you show your vaccination card? Because Biden said you don't have to wear your...
Yeah, but Governor Murphy said we're still masked up here indoors in New Jersey for the time
being. As we should be.
I guess. I don't know.
I'm going to be wearing my mask for a while.
Masks.
Glasses
fall down my nose whenever
I
wear them, and then I can't see.
You got to wear your mask. Yeah. I'm wearing my mask for a while, y'all. Even though I'm fully vaccinated, I'm not taking
you can
mine
do
off.
That. Yeah. I will wear it where I need to. If I go into a store and it's required, of course I'll put it on. But I just feel like I'm not going to walk the dogs wearing a mask anymore.
No, we haven't done that for quite a while.
Yeah, that's true. We were ahead of the curve.
Well, we were vaccinated pretty early
because
we were lucky.
Yeah, we were definitely. Essex County, New Jersey, I thought did a great job with the vaccination thing, and good stuff. So let's call it a night here as we head over to the SOPAC in South Orange, New Jersey to watch Jordan Rudess perform a set of Bach, Dream Theater, Liquid Tension Experiment, and other stuff. Can't wait to see this. First concert in a long time. All right. Thank you, guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.